All right. Wow. That's quite an introduction. Thank you, Cheryl. tonight, it's just Connie and me. And by the way, Cheryl, I did hear you say that you had a big aha when you read the homework. So I'll be calling on you later to share
Since you're teaching that class.
yes, during consistent gentle healing. Yeah. So it's just me and Connie tonight. Tom has abandoned us. No, Tom has. He works seasonally in New York, so he goes to New York and works for a couple of months. He should be back in I don't know what month is it? It's in June. Maybe early July is actually when he usually comes back. It's early July, so we'll try and muddle through without him. Welcome everyone. Let's see, Bart and Christine and Marge and Debbie. Hey Debbie, hope you had a good flight. Okay. We were chuckling about Tom praying a moment ago. But you're sitting here in front of the computer and you got this mic staring at you. It's like, oh, okay, prayer in front of the mic. So but at any rate, let's do that. Let's just take a moment, settle in. And I'd just like to say the prayer that that I always say when I speak, if not out loud, then I say it to myself, and that is, first I want to express my gratitude for the opportunity to participate in this way. And we want to devote ourselves to the truth and to getting our personal selves, our personal beliefs and ideas and agendas out of the way so that truth can come through. Amen.
And recognizing that that's what they are. For me, that's my prayer. At least recognize that it's your own personal agenda that you're bowing down to.
Right, that's 9/10 of it, right?
For me, it's at least 9/10.
Okay, so and I'm assuming I'm trying to get the microphone settled where you can hear both of us. I'm assuming you guys can hear both of us. Okay. I don't think you can hear us at all.
No response.
No response.
Can you hear us now?
There she is. Yes, loud and clear. Woohoo! All right. Good, because we're sitting in the comfortable room tonight, which is my preference. Oh, it's a preference. It's an agenda. All right. So here we go. Actually, Tom and Connie taught the class last time. I came in at the end, but, taught the class, whatever you want to call it. They shared last time. I came in at the end, and, but Connie tells me, and I think she's right, we're at the top of page 131. We're in Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 30. All ears on deck, Christine says. Okay. So, Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 30. This is a course of looking within yourself, for in truth, there's nowhere else to look. As we follow this course together, you will be tempted to look away from yourself and look at someone else. But if you remember that you cannot see anyone else except through yourself, you will remember once again where to focus your attention. I probably spoke on that last week. You know, we see everything we see through what we were just talking about in the prayer, through our beliefs, our opinions, our prejudices. You know, we see it all through the filter, this murky filter that we call a mind. And that's why our goal, why our practice or our goal or our aspiration, whatever you want to call it, is to let go of the thinking mind, because it really just blocks what's really going on here. You know, we never see anything for the truth of what it is. I mean, I think if we saw it without the murky filter of our mind, we would be experiencing the real world that the Course talks about. In fact, I'm reminded of they do these scenarios in like criminal justice classes or in law school where they'll stage a crime. They'll have somebody run in and steal somebody's purse and run back out of the classroom, you know, and then they'll, you know, all is the shock to the students. And then they'll get people's perceptions of what happened and what was the person wearing and how tall were they and what color was their hair and, you know, what time did he enter the door and all these things. And you get different answers from everybody in the room. No two people see the same thing. So I'm not sure what that's supposed to be now for the criminal justice class.
Your filter.
But yeah, for these purposes, it really shows that everybody sees through their own filter, you know, through their distractions even, right? So that's what's got to be cleaned. That's the dark glass that has to be cleaned so that we get true perception.
Yeah, and I think. And once again, that's they're referring to that purification in the first 50 miracles, right? Right?
Yeah.
I don't know how that goes exactly, where I could find it real quick. But,
sure. Do you want the original version? No, you've got your. That's basically what you've got there, right?
I don't know that I can move.
Connie's looking at A Course in Miracles. It could be a while.
And next week. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it says purification is
miracles are, you're entitled to miracles, but
purification is
necessary first.
Right.
That's a quote. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is of course what we've been talking about in the last few weeks, and it's one of the classes. I don't know what you call those classes.
You mean consistent general healing classes? No. MPP classes.
MPP classes.
Oh, the purification.
The inquiry is what I'm talking about.
Root cause inquiry.
Root cause inquiry. Thank you. I'll spit something out. That's a full sentence in a minute.
It's a lot like charades over here. It's two words. Wait a minute, we got tickled. Finish your thought.
Okay, root cause inquiry. We're being directed to look at the mind, and I guess it's at. Maybe we haven't even come to that sentence yet. This is a course that looks inside the mind and inside the heart by examining symbols that seem to be outside. By looking through the mirror of your mind, we will discover the beliefs that you hold onto there. So,
perfect.
Which I think that last course was leading up to. So, so once again, I think I've even said this to Marge not too long ago that I keep preaching how important this inquiry is. Mom said, well, that's okay, but talk about something else too, or something like that. Sorry, Mom, that's not a very good quote. Or give examples, maybe she said.
Okay. Oh, yeah, give examples.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, no, actually, I appreciate you you bringing that to light, and I think this is exactly what we're looking at in the consistent gentle healing class, and in fact, you know, I don't want to teach that class now, but one of our one of the things we were supposed to read was from Philippians, I think it was. What did I read? Yeah, it's talking about this, watching what we do, because that shows us what we believe in, right? That shows us what the filter of what our murky little filter looks like, right?
Right.
What are we acting on?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So every time you open up your mouth, you go, oh, well, that probably wasn't a completely true statement, so there's something to look at. Oh, there's something to look at. So so this, the whole inquiry, maybe some people don't have to sit down and and write out the process and go through the process, whether that's the process that Regina has or whether it's Byron Katie's process, or and I think there's more inquiries.
There are. Choose Again has one. I mean, yeah, and it's all the work, and as Byron Katie calls it, it's all the work. It's got to be done.
Yeah.
Or else you're ruled by these beliefs and emotions and things that are seemingly beyond your control.
Yeah, and I to me, it's being in my, when I'm in my right mind, I'm hearing these things, and particularly if you're around somebody else that is on the same spiritual path, and as we were talking about, what was that guy, Paul Hederman?
Yeah.
Gosh, if you're around a guy like that all the time, I don't know that you could open up your mouth, because every time you said something, you'd be saying something wrong. You know, if it has any reference to me, it's...
Yeah. I who? Well, I was thinking you were what?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was so everything becomes something to look at from that point of view. But, and of course, what Byron Katie says is, you know, everything is, you could look at everything, but let's just look at the things that are causing you suffering.
Yeah, wow, good point. Yeah, we really could look at, we could deconstruct everything, every thought, every sentence, every word, but let's start with the things that are causing you suffering.
Pain, right.
Right, right. Good plan. Okay. So again, I'm going to read that paragraph that we just talked about. I'm going to read it again. Excuse me, I forget. This is a course that looks inside the mind and inside the heart by examining symbols that seem to be outside. By looking through the mirror of your mind, we will discover the beliefs you hold on to there. We will look at your beliefs together and examine honestly what they say to you. Then you can decide if you want to listen to them or not. And that's the real gift. The real gift is just slowing you down long enough so that you're no longer a prisoner of your own mind and beliefs and agendas, you know, that it's not unconscious anymore. At least you can look at it and go, no, I like that. I want to keep it or not, right? And I think invariably what you find is once you slow them down to really start hearing your thoughts and seeing your choice points, I think anybody who does that eventually ends up at the same place, which is, I'm not going to live like that anymore. I'm not going to listen to those thoughts anymore. You know, that's what Nikki Dobson was teaching the other night in her class. She was like, I am not taking your advice anymore, talking to herself, right? You don't give good advice. That's what Michael Singer says in The Untethered Soul. It's like, why do you keep listening to this person, quote-unquote person, they give you advice, bad advice, every time they open their virtual mouths, right?
Yeah, and some of us have bigger egos than the other, and we think, well, that advice wasn't so bad, but so we suffer harder, more, big-time suffer.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
There you go.
All right. Okay, Jesus came out of the desert a teacher, but the one who taught through him was the Holy Spirit. This is the same one that teaches you now, so that no time has elapsed since Jesus seemed to teach until the time that I am teaching you now.
All time is all time.
Yeah, there is no time. We are all one. That was from our movie watchers group the other night, right? That was one of the themes from that. There is no linear time. Okay. And so, it is true of you now as it was true of him then. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that's, it says it's from Luke. Luke 4, 18 through 19, New International Version. Okay. He says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Forget not the purpose of this course. It is a course of looking within. This is the message of this scripture. This is the anointment you have accepted. Be grateful to yourself. This is the acceptance of peace.
And that is the experience that if I'm able to do that inquiry right, that is experience that I have. I have, it's like a big relief, like something's been lifted off my shoulders. I know no longer I'm going to be burdened by this baggage that I was carrying around, and it sits in my hand, just plain to see as baggage.
Amen. Yeah, and that's what, you know, the good news to the poor. You know, that's the same reference, like the poor in spirit. When I was reading that, I was thinking, I think I took that note down, but for a while I had a note up here that said the poor in spirit, and somebody said, maybe it was Adi Ashanti, the poor in spirit are people like Eckhart Tolle and Byron Katie, the people who just went, I can't do this anymore, right? And who just were open and willing, right? Because they were done with what they'd been doing. Pretty much where all of us are going.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they were completely toast.
Yeah. And were able, frankly, to become the empty shell. Because they weren't buying their own stuff anymore. So,
the same spot that you say Nikki was at.
Right, right. And so the Spirit has come to preach good news to the poor. The Spirit has come to anoint me to preach, or Regina, right, or all of us, to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Prisoners of what? Prisoners of your own mind, right?
Yeah.
And recovery of sight for the blind, and to release the oppressed. And that is, I mean, if you do this work, that's what's going on.
And that's why this is a course of looking within. And that's why it's necessary, because all those things are true.
Yeah. You are poor, and you're a poor, blind, oppressed prisoner. Oh, that's awful.
And a dumb SOB.
Okay, so he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Forget not the purpose of this course. It is a course of looking within. This is the message of the scripture. This is the anointment you have accepted. Be grateful to yourself. This is the acceptance of peace. You know, and then I'm brought back to teach. In fact, I thought that while ago when you were talking about your conversation with Marge. Teach what you would learn, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's what it's about. So be grateful. This is the acceptance of peace. And yet, even as your gratitude is being expressed, you will not have to look far to find doubt within your mind. There is doubt that the words I share could be for you. There is doubt that healing can occur. There is doubt that I am a reality. There is doubt, angry and fearful doubt within you. Sorry, I got confused by the board. Sorry, I just looked at the board and there's the... Okay, let me go on. Do not deny the doubt that you see. It is not to be denied. It is the part of the mind that rejects the healing that is offered to it. So let me read that again so I get it. Do not deny. Okay, I'm going to try it one more time. Do not deny the doubt that you see. It is not to be denied. It is the part of the mind that rejects the healing that is offered to it. So, you know, it's what's telling us here. It's resistance. And we know that NTI tells us you're having one of two experiences, willingness or resistance. So that's all that your doubt is. You don't have to believe it. It's just know that it's resistance. It says, it will seem to resist the healing and to try and cast it away. But do not fear. In spite of its struggle and raucous noise, healing cannot be rejected.
Thank you, God.
We sure have tried.
I don't know.
Through your willingness to be healed, healing will walk through the mob in your mind, passing it by in gentleness, leaving it in peace to quiet on its own.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, so... That must be what's going on in the Bible, you know, with the in the verses that it's referring to, there must be a loud crowd and a raucous, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I gather when I read that. It's just an interesting way to describe that. Yeah, visual. He says, this is the way we walk together. It is the way of peace and great joy. And again, we're NTI Luke chapter 4, page 132, verses 31 to 37. I am your leader in this process of healing. It is best for you to realize that you do not know the answers and you could not heal yourself.
It is best.
It is best. Does the course say you've had a poor teacher? You? Right.
It is best.
You could not heal yourself. The way to healing is to listen to me with the full attention of your ears. Focus them on nothing else and no one else. Quiet your mind that you may hear only me.
That's my biggest resistance. I just you were talking the other day in your Sunday sermon about busyness. It's just like, and that busyness is the resistance. Just because I can lay it off on, I got this to do and I got this to do, and but truly it's just resistance from participating in the quietness of my mind because of fear or for whatever reason. That, I mean, it is the resistance. The business is the resistance. You make time for things that are important to you.
Yeah. Well, and you know, when we were, was it today's lesson? Maybe today's lesson. about sinking into the joy, right? Into finding the joy within yourself. And I could see that there was a lot of busyness there, you know, so I had to, like, you know, it's like walking through a cave and brushing away the cobwebs, right? You have to, although I didn't actually have a visual, but, you know, it's like all this busyness going on in the mind, and then touch and joy, and it was like just a volcano, you know? I mean, it was amazing, the feeling. I'm like, I don't feel any joy here. Right on the way, on the walk down, I'm poo-pooing it, saying, oh, come on. And just incredible. In fact, when I felt that, I was reminded of what you said on Sunday, Connie, about the fear being of your own divinity. And it was, I mean, it gushed up out of me. You know, I was like, whoa, where did this come from? And it was just, it was a self-washing away, you know. It was that kind of joy bursting through, and it was fabulous. And then I was thinking about this, man. Right back, right, to like, oh, and then I need to get that done before tonight's class, and then I need to do this, and then, you know. And so it's funny to just have that, I mean, just blow you away experience, and then be right back to the busyness. So.
It's amazing, right. Isn't it?
Yeah,
and you're right. You're either on one page or the other.
Yeah, because
acceptance or resistance.
Yeah, willingness or resistance. Exactly. Yes. So it was interesting to see that pass so quickly. As soon as I got busy, you know, believing, listening to my thoughts again. Huh.
Cool. Good experience.
Okay. Oh, a couple of people are having sound issues, huh? So, Becky had to leave. She's going to the radio. Sorry, Becky. And Clara also said she had no sound. Clara, I hope your sound has come in. She wouldn't know, though, would she?
Well, how about everybody else? Everybody else hearing us?
Okay, and Cheryl says it's good. Okay, good. Okay. So, where were we? Oh, quit listening to yourself. Oh, the way to healing is to listen to me with the full attention of your ears. Focus them on nothing else and no one else. Quiet your mind that you may hear only me. And that's really what we're being asked to do all the time. Not just by this passage, but, you know, in every teaching that we see. You know, be still and know that I'm God. Quiet your mind. Quit believing your thoughts. Because, like we said at the beginning when we were talking about the filter, right? It's all that stuff that really just keeps you from being in the stillness within. You know, listen to those thoughts. It's what we've been learning about. You know, where you focus your awareness. You know, that's the awareness watching awareness. Are you watching your thoughts? Are you busy with your thoughts? Or are you focused within?
That's good. I've been doing that. I love when I can step into that awareness, watching awareness. And I have to say, if right now it is rather short-lived, I'll go, okay, you've only got, you know...
You got 3 minutes left.
You've only got this much longer to get home. Why don't you just experience your drive? You've come 20 minutes now. You got 5 minutes to get home. Why don't you at least spend the last 5 minutes doing what you want to do, is awareness, watching awareness, just to be with the experience and enjoy the rest of it. And if I can do it for another 2 or 3 minutes, I've really done good, because before I know, I've dropped right back in. It's kind of like you were talking about having that experience and then
right back to the thoughts.
Back to the thoughts, yeah.
Okay. Now that's over with. And the truth is, you don't even realize you've made the switch.
No, you don't. You go, oh, shit.
Yeah. Okay, now, but hear this. That's me, not that NTI doesn't say that. It says, there is nothing within you that needs to be driven away, but it may seem that way to you. You may seem to be possessed of an evil voice that whispers tortuous, no, that's tortuous, tortuous thoughts into your mind and will not go away. This demon is your fear. It will disguise itself in different forms in order to distract you from the truth of what is, but do not let it fool you. It is your fear of healing, so it must be sickness. Yeah, and that's what you were saying a while ago, Connie. Your fear, I took you to be saying what you were saying last weekend. Your fear of your own divinity. Yeah, your fear of healing.
Exactly.
And if it's fear of healing, it must be sickness. And the next line says, for what else could fear healing but sickness? Does love need to fear healing? Does peace need to fear healing? That which is the effects of health need not fear healing. So it is your sickness that causes fear and pain within you. Marge says it wouldn't hurt for you to be closer to the mic.
Okay. Hello, Marge. Can you hear me now?
Do you want to put a couple pillows behind you?
Okay. Right. I got it. Go ahead. You want to get that? Okay.
All right. Here we go. So, your sickness. Know your sickness for what it is. And remember that willingness is where you choose to give your power now. This is what you are to do when you see symptoms of sickness within your mind.
Resistance.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah. Acknowledge that you are sick.
Resisting.
Remember, you have decided to be healed.
Willing.
Turn away from the voice of sickness.
Resistance.
Give all of your attention to your willingness to be healed. Trust in your willingness.
Thank you.
March said, yes, it was better now. It is your sickness that cries out, what do you want with us? Have you come to destroy us? And it is your willingness that answers, be quiet. No, I'm sorry. It is your willingness that answers, be quiet. We are listening to the voice of truth now. Yeah, so, and you notice, when Nikki spoke last week, she spoke about the loving parent method, and I really appreciated what she was saying, because she was talking about being gentle with yourself. So it really was not appropriate to say willingness and be quiet, because it doesn't. It just like, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. You know, I'm not going to, you don't give good advice. I'm not going to listen to you. Please be quiet so I can hear the voice of truth. And that's what this is saying.
Yeah, and I think there's the teaching basically is that voice will always speak, the ego voice, the voice of illusion will always be wanting to put its two cents in. But when we really start getting this, we will just realize that that's what it is, and we're not going to listen to it. But it'll always be there going, well, I had an idea.
Yeah, and in fact, the masters say that. You know,
exactly.
They asked Nisargadatta about it, and it's the only one I can think of right now that they asked about it. He said, yeah, I still see that. I see the choice to get angry.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about this the other day. You were talking about Beautiful Mind.
Right.
Where the symbolism of the children that he was seeing at the end, they were saying, do you still
see those imaginary characters?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, but now I just choose to ignore them.
Right, exactly. So the voice for the ego is always going to be trying to put its two cents in, but we're not going to fall for that.
Not anymore. And instead, we're gonna. It says that willingness is the one that answers. Your willingness to heal is the one that answers when the ego says, hey, I got an idea. Your willingness is the one that answers. Be quiet. We're listening to the voice for truth now. Yeah. Voice of truth. Okay. There will seem to be many sick thoughts within your mind that need healing. Do not fear that each one must be touched and healed for healing to come over you. For all sickness comes from the same source. When the source is healed, all of the symptoms of sickness disappear at once.
Yeah, so the teaching is, and we're doing that inquiry, and we have this experience, and you realize that it's only my own thoughts about this experience that's keeping me in this suffering, and you let that go, and then the next time you may have to let it go something similar, but there is a threshold that is reached, and then. Then that's not something you have to actively let go anymore.
Yeah, once you identify the underlying belief that causes you to be upset every time somebody says whatever the words are, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like we were talking about at dinner time. The need to be right. We want to forgive somebody, but we still want to keep it right there. Oh, well, we were right, but we're going to forgive.
But they probably had good reasons for doing it wrong.
Yeah, which the Course would tell you that is not true forgiveness.
Yeah, falls short. Yeah. So let's see. Yeah, but so when the source is healed, all of the symptoms of sickness disappear at once. So this is what you are to do. Do not believe the symptoms in your mind. Quit listening to your thinking mind, right? Do not believe it. You can, you know, it's like Connie said a moment ago, it's always going to be there, but the question is, am I always going to believe it? I'm always going to take its advice. Do not believe the symptoms in your mind. Do not be distracted by them. Those small things are not the source of your sickness. But when you notice the symptoms, let them remind you that the source is within you still. Give your willingness to the source of healing, that the source of sickness may be taken away. And this is what you are to do. This is what else you are to do. Although there is sickness within you, you are not wholly sick, nor are you sickness itself. For your willingness is within you, and it is health. Turn your attention to your health. Live within your health. Be your health. Get up and walk with it, giving your attention to it, that it may grow within you. And it's, you know, it's really interesting because this is a surprise, surprise, what we're going to be talking about
tonight
in the gentle healing class.
Funny how that works.
So where are you going to focus your attention? You're going to focus your attention on your healing. You're going to be grateful for your healing. You're going to be grateful for your willingness to be healed.
And you'll be grateful for being in your right mind and being able to see it. That's what the health is, right?
That's right. That's absolutely it. Yeah, no question. Sickness must rest and be quiet. This is the way to health. let your sickness rest. But health must serve the Son of God, for that is its only purpose. Let your health serve in great joy and be glad for it. Okay. NTI Luke chapter 5, page 134. Things are not as they seem. This is why I ask you to trust me and follow me. I know how things are. You are blind to these facts, for you only know what you think you know. And that is nothing but a deep and burdensome slumber.
Yeah, I think we talked about this at dinner too. Well, I don't know why he's doing it that way, and then maybe he has his reasons, and blah, 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 go through. Oh my God, shut up.
Logic will not get you out of this.
I know, it just wears you out.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're still trying to control it. You're still trying to, it still has to be according to your rules, but there can be deviations, and let me show you the exceptions to the rule. And as long as he falls within one of those exceptions, I'll forgive him.
Yeah, he must have some logic here, because I'm willing to try and forgive him for not doing it the way I think it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. It wears me out.
Step away from what you know and come with me.
Step away from...
Right.
You got a gun.
Step away from the car. Step away from what you know and come with me. I will show you what you don't know. I will show you what you don't think is possible and prove to you that it is true.
Sounds like the miracle.
Yeah. Leave what you know. Be willing to put it completely behind you and follow me. What you know, I would have put quotes around no. Oh, that's funny. What you know limits you and holds you back through your own willingness to know it. Wow, the talk about, you know, the power of your attention and the power of your intention. If you want to believe you're limited, buddy, you got that power. You go right ahead and believe it, and you will have that experience.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's no chance for the miracles to start taking you to your rightful mind as long as you're going to participate in that limit.
Yeah.
Of thinking I know something, thinking I'm right.
Yeah. What you know limits you and holds you back through your own willingness to know it. Cast what you know away from you, and I will help you to pull in a net full of what you did not believe was possible. Cast what you know away from you, and I will help you to pull in a net full of what you did not believe was possible.
And that's a miracle.
Yeah, you know, the miracle is what's left when you get rid of all your baggage. The miracle is the miracle is, it only seems like a miracle because it's the truth of who we are and the truth of what is. So when you get rid of these judgments and agendas and beliefs and who I think I am is this little bitty body mind, you know, that's the miracle.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But it does seem miraculous because we're sitting in the limited mind going, well, that's impossible. Well, it's impossible because I got the limited mind.
Right.
So if I can't get out of my own way, at the very least I have to say, I don't know, and I'll quit trying to think I know and live by these dictates of my own unknowing mind.
Yeah. Yeah. The journey that we take together will seem to take great faith. Do not worry that you do not have enough faith to complete the journey. For if you have faith to start, you have faith to complete it. On this journey through this course that we will complete together, you will come to see yourself as dirty, unworthy, and untouchable. All means of self-hatred will come up in you, but do not be alarmed. Your blemishes come to me for healing. Your hatred comes to me through your faith and willingness that it may be healed.
Thank you, God.
Hatred is nothing but a desire for love that belies... let me try it again. Hatred is nothing but a desire for love that believes love is absent.
Well, how forgiving is that statement?
Yeah. Hatred is nothing but a desire for love that believes love is absent. Of course, love could never be absent, right?
Right.
Yeah, so this is like a call for love. Everything is either an act of love or a call for love. Yeah. In my light, it shall know love is not absence. In this knowledge, it is healed. Spend time with me when hatred comes upon you. Retreat to a quiet place and ask for my help. Before we go on, I'm reminded, and seems like it's been a while since I've really felt like hatred. But and there have been several times on this path when you allow yourself to really begin experiencing your emotions, your true emotions, you see that what the Course talks about, that little aggravation is really hatred. I mean, you just hate the guy that just whipped around you in traffic. I mean, hate the guy. It's been a while, but that hatred, like I said, once you allow yourself to get in touch with that, it's really... It's a much bigger emotion than you might have imagined.
Yeah. They talk about that sigh being wish for death or something. Yeah. It's all amplified because it's all on. Once again, we're back to it's either all love or it is all fear, and there's nothing in between. So it would all be love or it'd all be hatred, and there just isn't anything in between, because God is not in between.
You close that all the way. Thanks. That the sun, the lovely, lovely sun is shining right in my eyes. Thank you, Connie. There's nothing in between. The two columns.
Yes.
He says, spend time with me when hatred comes upon you. Retreat to a quiet place and ask for my help.
Marks at you going into the closet when you're a little girl to be with God.
Aww. Spend time with me when hatred comes upon you. Retreat to a quiet place and ask for my help. Wait in peace and confidence for my answer. I invite your unhealed spots into the light that I may heal them. I will not abandon you when the unhealed spots answer my call and step forth to be healed. Yeah, we had that lesson last week or the week before that said, you know, you think that, you know, part of why you don't want to slow down and look is because you feel that if the truth of you were revealed, it would be ugly. And so this is just a real sweet reassurance. There's nothing that's going to put me off. I'm not going to abandon you when the truth of you, when what you believe is the truth of you comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I can't show that to anybody.
Right. Those.
Yeah,
those big ones.
Right. They only knew what.
Yeah.
Jesus wouldn't have anything to do with me. He wouldn't come to my closet.
But no, he says, I will not abandon you when the unhealed spots answer my call and step forth to be healed. They're awful quiet in there. You think we're still online?
Well, it's us that needs to know this. Let's continue.
You guys are still there, right? I figured you would have called me on the phone if we weren't still talking. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yay! All right, here we go. Again, I tell you, you will find doubt in your mind, even as I show you that you are worthy of love by loving you through myself and into your heart. A thought will rise within your mind that says, I am not worthy of this love. It is love that must be illusion, for for I am an abomination. Debbie's there too. This is yet another spot rising to the surface to be healed. So give this thought to me. Let my light shine upon it. I am asking you to pick up your mat and walk. This is the task at hand. And to do this, you must be willing to leave your doubt behind. This is why I tell you that there will be doubt. So when you see it, you can say, ah, yes, there it is, just as I was told it would be. And you can remember that the authority given faith is stronger than the authority presumed in doubt. And I can tell you, if you're not looking at your NTI, that those two authorities, one's capitalized and the first is capitalized and the second is not. And you can remember that the authority given faith is stronger than the authority presumed in doubt. Yeah, you know, the Course talks about the authority problem. And that's what this is talking about.
Yeah, thinking you know everything. And thinking you're the author of everything.
Exactly, yeah, exactly that. Yes, thinking you're the author of everything, and you think, including yourself. Yeah. That's that's the authority problem. And that's, you know, the authority presumed in doubt. You know, you can give your faith to the truth of who you are, capital A authority, or you can give your authority to, you know, your belief in your limitation, and then in the self that you've created. That exactly. You've authored, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He says, lay your doubt aside. Trust in my words and walk with me. Remember that you are sick and I have come to heal. Remember all that I say, that healing may be ushered in now. You are worthy. Do not let doubt tell you that you are not. Feel grateful for your willingness. It will herald all healing for you. Your willingness will herald all healing for you, so be grateful for it. You are worthy. Do not let doubt tell you that you are not. Feel grateful for your willingness. It will herald all healing for you. Sickness must be seen to be healed, so show your sickness to me. But do not forget that it is only sickness. And through your rest, I come to heal.
Yeah, so we started this whole reading tonight. Let's see if I can see where we started. That was talking about this being a course of sin. Well, this is a course that looks inside the mind and inside the heart by examining symbols that seem to be outside. So we have to come to recognize that everything is a symbol. Because this is an illusionary experience. Everything is a symbol, and it's either pointing to my right mind or to my wrong mind.
Amen.
And then so if we have doubts, if we're out there with these doubt experiences, then we can just, we don't have to go through that. We can immediately just turn that over.
Yeah. And it's this whole, that whole part is just really cool. He talks about, I'm asking you to pick up your mat and follow me, or pick up your mat and walk, right? Yes, yeah, that's right. You've been sick, but let's go. Enough of that. Let's go.
Yeah, have faith, right. Not doubt. Pick up your mat and walk.
Yeah, exactly. Lovely. This is Luke chapter 5, verses 33 to 39 on page 135 of NTI. Old habits must be let go, for old habits will not usher in a new day. With old habits, all things remain the same. But with new habits, all things are possible. Yeah, and that's what we read last week in the General Healing Group in The Way of Mastery. You know, you keep doing the same thing, you're going to keep the status quo.
Yeah.
He says, I have come to teach you new habits. You will learn these habits by practicing them as I ask. Remember me and practice. You will catch yourself practicing the old habits, for this has been your way until now. Slipping into old habits does not ruin the new ones. So when you find yourself doing this, forgive yourself your attraction to the old by stepping away from the old and stepping into the new. Each time you do this, you help yourself to unlearn the old and to learn the new.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're like, if you're like me, you go, and this is repeated in the workbook all the time. Is like, well, if you forget, don't say, oh, well, I forgot all day long. I might as well just chuck it now. And it's no. Right here is the point to choose again and start the practice again. No matter if you forgot it 23 hours out of the 24-hour day, right now. No matter whether you got a 25-minute drive home and you only got 5 minutes left, now's the time.
Yeah, and I think that's real valuable information because I actually this time around I've done that with A Course in Miracles lessons many times, and this time around I could hear myself doing it, and you know that's why the being able to slow things down and see this is such a gift, because I could hear myself go, well, I'm just going to check it, or, oh, you know, you're terrible, or, you know, instead of, and then I went, wait.
It's not too late.
Exactly.
Click your shoes and go home.
This is my opportunity to do it now. That's what this is, and the ego would take that
away
gentle reminder, yeah, that you haven't done your lesson, and turn it into some kind of guilt trip.
You worthless piece of...
Yeah, right? Instead of just a gentle reminder, you haven't done your lesson, do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, so it's real sweetly here is just saying, yeah. And in the workbook, it's just real sweet and saying, okay, you haven't done it up to now. Let's just go forth now.
Yeah, and I'm once again reminded of Nikki talking about the parent-child type thing. We just take the child gently, lead them gently by the hand back to on course. Or Adi Ashanti, I think it is, he talks about the puppy. You know, if the puppy's running everywhere and peeing on, you don't beat the puppy. You just bring the puppy back over to the puppy pad and set it down, right? Yeah. So I'll be a puppy. And then chapter ends with take no old habits with you into the new, for the old habits must be left completely if the new habits are to result in new. That's interesting.
That's the two columns on the page. I mean, you're either in the right mind or you're in the wrong mind. You're either in the love and the expansion of your heart, or in the resistance and the fear.
Well, yeah, ego. Well, like we were just demonstrating when we were talking about, ego would use everything, including your spiritual path, to beat the hell out of you.
Yeah.
To make you feel unworthy.
Yeah.
And it will use this as well if you allow it to. So you've got to just let go of those
old limitations, old habits.
Yeah, your old habit of beating yourself up. You got to let go of it.
Yeah.
You can't mix it with this, you know, oh, you're a terrible course student, let me beat you. All right. Look, here we are. It's time to read the Bible, and I don't think I have it pulled up. But I can. NIV, there it is. Okay, so we use the NIV version. And we get on the right page, maybe before our time's up, maybe not. maybe. Sorry, guys. Sorry for the lull.
Take just a minute of being awareness, watching awareness.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. Good, Tony. Okay. This is Luke 6, chapters 1 through 11, and we do have just a few minutes left. So let's see what this says. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Get up and stand in front of everyone.' So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?' He looked around at them all and then said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teacher of the law were furious and began to discuss one another what they might do to Jesus."
That's our story. It doesn't seem reasonable to me.
How dare you be helpful on the Sabbath?
I know.
Do miracles on the Sabbath. That's awful.
The rules are the rules.
NTI says, "Judgment is a way of looking at the world and deciding what is good and what is bad, or what is right and what is wrong."
Oh, damn it.
"You have been taught within the world how to exercise your judgment so that it is, quote unquote, good judgment. For even judgment itself can be good or bad, right or wrong. Now I ask you, forget everything you have been taught and everything you have learned. For if you know nothing, you cannot judge. Any judgment that you make and accept as a belief in your mind is a mistake. For any judgment that you make assumes something within illusion is real, and within its realness, something is better or more valuable than something else. Judgment accepts as real and then separates. So all judgment must be of the ego."
Yeah, I think we've talked about this some.
Yeah, we have talked about how, you know, you're investing it with your belief. I mean there's so much in this little portion, because not only are you investing it with your belief and making more of it and making it firmer in your mind and in the mind. I forgot the second part. I said not only, and then I forgot the second part. I've got distracted by the time. Not that that's real. But then you're prisoner to it, and all the people you encounter are prisoner to it. You know, these are the rules that we would impose on the world. This is the opposite of forgiveness, because forgiveness allows everything to just be what it is. Yeah. And judgment goes, no, it's got to be my way. Yeah. It's so exactly what we were talking about a while ago. It's got to be my way. Maybe he had a good reason. Here's the exceptions to my rule.
But there has to be my underlying logic. And what this is saying is, forget everything you've been taught and everything you've learned, because if it's your underlining reasoning, it is wrong. If it's your underlining rules, it is wrong. Oh, well, you know, I'm forgiving him if maybe this is what he was thinking.
Yeah, but that none of that means anything.
Yes, that's what has to be let go, is that I know. Right.
That there are rules and I know them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if they're somewhat reasonable according to my rules, then I can allow them. But the whole thing is that my laws, my reasoning, all of that is false, and all of that has to be let go, and all of it has to be seen as false before I can get to the root of it.
Yeah.
And truly let it go. Otherwise, I'm always going to be judging out of that. Are you anywhere close to what's reasonable? My reasonable.
Right. Exactly right. Okay, guys, so we'll stop there, and do it again next week, me and Connie, while Tom's out of town, we appreciate the opportunity to do this with you each week. We appreciate being on the journey with you and you allowing us to be on your journey with you. So, Connie.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure, as always.
And I'll let go of the mic.